Father, we come before you, Lord. We ask that you will help us all, that our hearts are all prepared as we learn to look to you, as we humble ourselves in submission, and as we come before you with a thankful heart and appreciating all that you have done for us, not only in this life but in the life after, saving our soul, and also, Lord, reminded of the blessed hope that we can have in you. And also, Father, we thank you that you are with us, even as we walk this pilgrimage on this earth. We're thankful also, Lord, that word will guide us and help us to learn to deal with many issues in our Christian faith. We thank you, Lord, that we can be here to learn of your word. We pray that you open our minds, our heart, and to receive your word, and, Lord, to be thankful, and also, most important, to obey your word, Lord. And your word will bring life, blessing into whatever that we are going through. We pray for every one of us that are here, that you'll bless us. Those that are on the way, bring them quickly. And Lord, just commit this time to you. Speak through your word, and Lord, may your Holy Spirit be free to use your word to do the work in our hearts, our life. Just commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, this morning we're going to embark on another part of separation, which we have started. In fact, there are three types of separation in the New Testament. Just as an introduction again, we already covered the first part of the area of separation, which is the moral separation. We talk about separation from sins and worldliness. We dwelt quite a lot about this matter of what is the world. We are in this world, but we're not of the world, and what the world is, you know, in terms of its system of thought and philosophy and value system and everything. And then we look into the background behind the sin, who is the god of this world, Satan. And of course, how Satan uses the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life to try to cause problem in our fellowship with God and disrupt our Christian life in this world. And how are we to relate with the world with all this understanding, and to separate, and then so that we separate from sin unto holiness to God. Okay, this morning we want to cover another basic area of separation, which is called the doctrinal separation. Okay, after that we will go into the practical separation. Doctrinal separation has to do with those teaching that and practices that are contrary to that of the Bible, the teaching of the apostle, and how we should make what God wants us to do with regards to this situation. And then there would be the practical separation, separation from brethren who are committed to continuingly in this teaching, false teaching, and walking in error and continue in this path. A little bit introduction on this doctrinal separation. According to Brother David Clark, he says the second kind of separation of God required of Christian is doctrinal separation. Sound of apostolic doctrine is to be preserved by the church, while false doctrine is to be avoided. So doctrinal separation can be further divided in two aspects. We have to separate from those who teach false doctrine, specifically, and secondly, separate from the entire apostate last day Christianity. In the sense, like, you know, we look at today Christendom, it's getting more and more a lot complicated and confusing. The charismatic, the new age, new evangelism, and this ecumenicalism, and all those kind of things. I must say that this is a topic that it's not that easy to present, because it's something that perhaps some of us are not even being affected by, in a sense, you know. Later on, we'll hear from Brother David Cloud's own example, how he get into this separation as he enter into his Christian life of different phases, and how this matter of separation become more and more something that he's more aware, and that God used him to be the one that sound the alarm and to warn people about. It's a lot of historical thing to cover, but hopefully I'll just stick to what Brother David Clough has here and uses the Bible to show to us the very basic about this doctrinal separation. Okay, with the introduction, I just want to state that I also agree with Brother David Clough that separation is despised and even hated doctrine today because it goes against the prevailing philosophy of unity. All right, a lot of ecumenical group comes together. They base on this philosophy. Basically, it's just saying that there is this thing called essential and non-essential truth. And then there's liberty. In essential, we have to, that means the Bible, we have to consider then that there are this thing called essential doctrine and non-essential. And then when it comes to liberty, we don't allow the essential and non-essential to separate us. Okay, as long as we have the common fundamental. They have four fundamental, five fundamental. That means some of the things that we all, at the minimal level, we can agree. But beyond that, whatever differences, they are all non-essential. But for unity's sake, we don't bother about this non-essential. We just come for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, and for the soul, and all the whatever they say. And we just work together. And we just come and have this association and all those. So this philosophy is very prevailing today. Some of the book that I'm going to try to actually recommend, I sort of dig from my Bible, is from Brother David Clough, Biblical Separation, Responsibility, Option, and Heresy. It's a very simple book. It just covers what kind of separation, the practice of separation, what are the type of separation that is wrong. Meaning that you separate because of tradition. I don't like the tradition of this church. I prefer the tradition of that church because personality differences, because of conflict or because of issues, you know, that are related to more of a man kind of thing. Then there is this, the why of separation and common excuses against separation. And then there's this book that I'm trying to, is by this guy called Gary Gohan. It's a biblical critic of the 10 new evangelical argument. Why this evangelical, they are for no separation. They say separation is not taught in the Bible. In fact, the Bible taught the other way. You know, so this author got hold of this 10 argument, which is propounded by someone who wrote in a book, and then he deal with it one by one from the Bible. He critiqued it, and then he concluded, but he leave it to the readership to go and decide for themselves with all the facts and things presented, you know. And this was written, by the way, in the 90s and even earlier than that. So you can imagine the situation that we are in now is even more, I would say, worst, more prevailing, more widespread. And it is now churches, even including independent fundamental churches, are already no more separation, already get swept and get influenced by all this philosophy. Of course, this philosophy are definitely more popular, you know. You can get anybody, whoever, and then just come and build your ministry and whatsoever. So we have a lot. In fact, there are so many prominent Christian figure out there that has got a lot of influence over many churches because they write books, they go to seminary for talks and for this, and they are the one that supported on, sort of spread this matter of the very loose stand on separation. Because if you want to take a look of ecumenism, this is a book that last time when I was in Emmanuel Baptist, they have this, way back in the 80s, how the history of ecumenism comes into it. The people that are, at that point of time, who are the player that started this whole thing of ecumenicalism, you know, the charismatics and other things. So there's a lot of historical, but all in all, as you look at this background, and then we come back to the Bible, actually there's nothing new, because the Bible in the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Timothy that they very prophesied this end time apostasy and false teacher. Even our Lord Jesus Christ warned about false teacher and how we should deal with it. All right. So just for that matter, I want for us to have this thought in your mind that separation is not something that is new or something that what do you call that? It's actually a very hard fought thing way back, you know, during Billy Graham's first initial when he came into the scene, and even before that, a lot of men of God who foresee all this from the Bible and seeing things are coming up, and they've really written a lot of things to warn, to teach people concerning, get people aware. Thank God for Brother David Cloud, because he is the one, very few one, who dared to expose all this in his publication and even through his ministry, you know, the website and all those that make like the Friday night, news, church news, and the Old Timothy and all those, and many of his research that he has done in many of this kind of issue that help us to see the reality and what is going on in the Christian world. All right, so for us, perhaps because we are not so directly affected in a sense, like, I mean, in a sense that, how should I put it, that we are in it, you know, we're in it in a sense, in a very direct sense. We may hear, we may, but when you are, what do you call it? I don't know. The reason why I say we're not directly, because many of us are involved in work, involved in our own everyday life. We're not getting in touch with issue in a very, like every day we go, we will deal with issue. Of course, like for example, if you're in a ministry, you deal with different churches, different pastors and all this, eventually you still have to deal with this issue. But what I'm trying to say is I want to create the awareness. I want to help us all to say that even though that we may not be very frequently have to deal with this, I need to be this matter of separation, you know, with this friend or with this colleague or with this church member that I know of and all those. We don't really have the kind of direct that causes us to really go in depth and really take a good look at what the real issue is all about. But what I'm trying to say is, I want for us to, as we go through this, that eventually it will help you to think and then to do more in-depth research and study and know for yourself and feel for yourself and have a, not just local, but have a global understanding as how this is impacting us according to what the Bible wants us to know. Okay? All right. Yeah, I'm not talking about doctrinal separation. Okay, I think I want to go back to this very simple. Just now I introduced doctrinal separation is separating from those who teach and practice false teaching. Doctrinal, in a sense, is about doctrine. You know, the part about some of these things is moral separation, which we really deal with everybody directly is involved. Because every day we will deal with this matter, even our own holiness and all those kind of things. Okay, never mind, let's go. Briefly, we're going to cover in this morning three aspects. Okay, but as far as if you look into the Bible clearly, if you look at it, there is actually a category of separation, you know. Because let's go through this whole thing first. Then at the end we will see that. Because when I go through this also, I see that the way that Brother David Clough organized and what the from the Bible, is Paul is dealing with a different group of people. It's the false teacher. It's those false teacher going around trying to teach things that were of. It's more of a macro kind of thing, you know. Never mind, let's go through first. You don't mind, I'll just go. Because if not, we'll be stuck here forever. We're going to cover today. This part one, part two will be continued. Three aspects of separation that we're going to see: the foundation of separation, and then the method of separation, and then with the reason of separation. All right. Now, here in Brother David Clough, he said in his own Christian life, he learned separation in three stages. That's why I was just. But the first stage is when he was a new Christian, he was taught the importance of testing everything by God, by God's word, and being cautioned about false teaching. Okay. With regards to this matter of doctrine, as well as I believe in the matter, like what you say, morality and all those. The man that led him to Christ also quote the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, which I believe in your word, that says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The word prove simply to mean to test, to examine, scrutinize, whether it is genuine and is worthy. All right. So it is something that we need to learn like the Berean Christian. Even when they receive whatever from, they actually prove. They went back, they study the Bible, they search the Bible. And then find out for yourself exactly what does the Word of God say. Now for Brother David Clough, that's what he did. When he was saved, he was given this warning about you need to be careful of whatever that comes to you. You need to test them, alright? And then the fellow also warned him about the bookstores and to exercise great care in choosing Christian book. Okay? Because many of those books can actually lead him astray. And the second thing he learned in separation when he went into the Independent Baptist Bible College. There he learned about the danger of cults and contemporary movement such as Roman Catholicism, theological liberation, charismatic, new evangelicalism, and Christian rock. So, progressively, he enlarged his understanding about issues in the Christian faith, all right? And then in his third stage, he learned it when he was a young missionary in a very practical level by dealing with the Nepal Christian Fellowship. All right, that fellowship was an ecumenical, charismatic fellowship. And at first, Brother David Clough thought that by getting involved with that, he could help these people, but even changing them by accepting their invitation to preach and teach in various forums. But at the end of it, the result was trouble and confusion because of doctrinal conflict. So, Brother David Clough said that he learned that it is scriptural and wise to separate from heretics and compromisers and to seek to help them from without rather than from within. Okay, so this is his personal experiences from a young Christian all the way right until when the Lord called him to be a missionary, how he have experienced from himself the progression of separation, all right, and how he makes aware of the environment around him. Now, as far as this is concerned, I adopt this same attitude when I go through this. Let all this speak to you, and let God be the one that will lead you to take whatever the position that God wants you to take. God is the one who must convict us, and we will hold on to this teaching of the Word of God because of that. Because I can tell you, there will be among us, even with the same presentation and everything, they will not be convinced, because there will be many other things that will they create more questions for them and more whatever justification or rationale. Anyway, that's what Brother David Clough's testimony is as far as his own experience. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 to see the foundation of separation. First of all, the foundation of separation is, according to here, is a strong knowledge of the Bible. Because without this, we cannot know the truth from error. And also, it would mean that there are three many levels. First is, as a believer ourselves, we must be a diligent Bible student. We must study for ourselves. We must go and find for ourselves, learn from ourselves by getting all the evidences and whatever, and then understand the whole issue. That's definitely. Of course, the Bible must be our foundation to sort of like a microscope, you know, the lens to see all these things. That's what the Bible says. And then, of course, with that, it means that you must have a habit of a Bible study. And it also means that every church should have a Bible school to train God's people in the Scripture and to prepare them to clearly and effectively deal with false teaching. And I think this is something that is very, very lacking in churches today. We don't teach much about in this area to train and to prepare and to let the people know what are the issues that are affecting us in this sense. So, the first thing is, we must have a strong foundation in the Word of God, in the issue itself, either through our personal study or through the church, or through the church in having institution, you know, for example, like Bible College, or for us, thank God that we have FBI, even for this matter of a Sunday Bible hour, and then, of course, through the preaching, and sometimes we do organize some kind of seminar, like last time we have the defense of the Bible and all those kind of things. Music and whatever. So it's very important. The first foundation is to have a strong Bible knowledge, grounded in the Bible. Second foundation is to have a testing mind. Alright? Psalms 119 verse 128 say, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Proverbs 14:15, the simple believe every word, but the prudent man look of wealth to his going. All right. And then in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we have this. This was more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily whether those things were so. First, just now we went through Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. All right. And, so these are the verses that tell us that we are to have a testing mindset, constantly distinguish between truth and error by having the Word of God and rightly dividing the Word of God. Think for a moment. Imagine if that we do not have the Bible. Actually, I find that most of the problem in our Christian life with regards to this area, or even in this matter, like what Brother Desmond said about dressing, about drinking, about smoking, and just the moral part of it, it's a lot to do of our lack of knowledge of the Word of God as to how we should live according to God's Word. Because many people just sit there and listen to whatever the preacher say and just take it and think that that's it already. It's been said, right, that today the problem, even though we have this matter of everyone can access to a lot of information, all right, about the Bible, about the doctrine, good material, everything is all there. But yet many Christians are in the same illiterate. You know, when you ask them about why you do what you do and why you don't do what you don't do, many of them could not answer. It's because we don't have this attitude of what does the Bible say? I will go and find out, learn of it, know what the Bible say, and that's what I believe, and that's I'm convicted of, and that's why I do what I'm doing. You know, so it's very important to have that testing mindset by looking at the Word of God. So the foundation is as simple as that, according to here. Build your the knowledge and the truth from the Word of God. Okay? I think we need to always go back to the Word of God. In all that we do, all that we are, is that we know that it is according to the teaching of the Bible, be it moral, doctrinal, or whatever it is. The second thing is the method of separation. 2 Timothy 2:16 and 17, the Bible tells us that, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as a dove a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus. All right, here we have two names being mentioned, Hymenaeus and Philetus. So, the method of separation is firstly, plainly identify those who err, in verse 17. You find here Paul didn't that warn in general, all right? He was very specific. He named the name of false teacher and compromiser. In fact, 10 times in the Bible he mentioned, all right? In your reference you have here, 1 Timothy 1:20, 2 Timothy 1:15, and the rest. But the key thing here is that we need to identify those who err. It is an important practice that is often missed today, even in those that still hold the word fundamentalist. What we are doing by giving you Brother David Cloud the Friday's news, and then we also highlight issues that really affect us with regards to this matter of people who propagate false doctrine Pastor Johnny mentioned a lot in the pulpit warning us about some of the preachers that are very influential in the false teaching. All right, and the Friday Church News is one of them, to keep people informed and forewarned. All right, and also in order to identify those, it's good to conduct study courses. Last time we do have I remember I attended the King James Bible, you know, way back in, we have SBBC, where Brother David Cloud was there for a couple of days, and some of us were there. And then there's the way back in Maranatha, there we have the contemporary Christian music and all those kind of. So this, of course, the one is talking about some problem with this situation. But here, it'd be good to, the method is to identify, is to warn people by highlighting it, and then through Old Timothy and the Friday church news. All right? I do not. I read. In fact, I went through some by Sumen. It did mention about this, but I think the thing that I remember was that Paul mentioned name to identify them that they are not their teaching error, that they are false teacher. Paul warned the people specifically about the individual who are going around propagating false teaching. And as far as that is concerned, the Bible is very clear that there's nothing wrong as far as God is concerned to warn people and tell people about the false teacher by naming name. Because this is an issue that many people take who are not for naming name, you know, because they will accuse you of being judgmental, which Brother David Clark gets it all the time. Who are having this idea of you are holier than thou and all the what makes you to be better than this person for you to judge this person and make a statement about this person and all those. But a lot of time, if you read in Brother David Clark's response, is that he don't attack the person. He just attack what the person did. And he's just doing his part as God called him to do, to highlight about the error and then to warn people about this error. That is it. But as far as he's concerned, he's very clear there is no judge of these people, but God is the judge. But you see that in going through this whole thing about separation and warning people about the individual, sometimes it becomes very, very unpopular. But we thank God for people like Brother David Clark. In spite of many threats and unpopularity, God still keep him faithfully doing the ministry of warning people, highlighting about false teacher and false teaching and this end-time apostasy in terms of this ecumenicalism and all those kind of things. All right? So, we find in the Bible that Paul mentioned name, okay? And then, not only we are to identify those who are, we also to separate. I believe Paul would not have mentioned somebody if it has not affected the church and churches as a whole. Because if it is just individual or whatever, Paul would have just dealt with it as a church. You know, like he dealt with the church in Corinth, the matter of the fornication and the incense and all those. He would have just dealt it as an issue, you know. But because it is affecting, it's a false teaching that is going around and causing problems in the churches. That's the reason why he has to identify this false teacher. But in a way that we find that it is a biblical teaching, as far as separation is concerned, is to identify those who err. And then separate from those who err, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, it says that having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Okay? So the Bible did give us many warnings. Like for example, 2 Timothy 2:16, the word avoid. And then Romans 16:17 is in your... It says that, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Okay? There is good reason why I believe the Bible wants us to mark these people and then avoid and shun these people, as we mentioned here. Is that so that we will not... subject ourselves, because when you listen to error long enough, it becomes like it's true. Like that. There are, in fact, I believe we have. I personally have experienced this. You know, I like to go into this many years back. This John MacArthur website, or even listen to his sermon. I find he's quite a good expositor. He really go through the verse by verse and expound it very, very well. I think as a Bible teacher, he's a very good, very strong in that area. But of course, in certain things that he, like his Lordship salvation, and some of the things he believed, it is not the blood that saved, you know, and all those kind of things, which we will have to be very careful, okay? That's why I find that even in this, it is so varied and so dynamic that what you need to do is to go and examine yourself. Like for myself, I decided, I'm very clear what I think of this John MacArthur, and of course I didn't follow for quite number of years. But some of his book is very good, you know, that it really teaches you what the Bible says. But certain doctrinal thing that he propounded, which is a little bit like Calvinism and all those, you know, is way out of what the interpretation is, not what it is like. Okay, so it's something for you to take it, and then some of the people that you have been following or reading his article or listening to his sermon and all this, you need to be aware of the whole what you call teaching and what the person believe, and then make a choice, a decision whether or not to continue. In fact, if you look at in the history of this so-called fundamentalism, you know, there are many, many people in the 40, 50 and all those that started. One example is, a very classic example is Billy Graham. When Billy Graham first started out, he was a conservative, he was preaching the gospel and all those kind of things. But not too long after that, you find that he went into this slippery road of compromise and a lot of things, you know, working with Catholic and all those, and then holding big meeting and this matter of channeling a lot of people who want to believe in Jesus Christ to the Catholic Church and all those. And whatever it is, all in the name of what you call new evangelism and ecumenicalism and all those kind of. So there are many people in those early when he was exposed, when he was taught, was very angry about why are you, you know, they held him so highly and praise him for all the so-called big great work that he has done. But yet when we examine him under with the Bible and what he has done, you find that it is something that you have to expose and let people know exactly what is the thing, what is the problem. In fact, after that, you find that more and more people are going down that road. More and more churches who are fundamentally sound, more and more Bible colleges who are fundamentally, who are strong in separation, all this, and bit by bit, they slip into this slippery road of new evangelism and ecumenicalism and the holding this philosophy of essential and non-essential, and then this matter of liberty to exercise liberty for those things that are not non-essential. And for the sake of what? The big thing here is unity. As long as we can come together and spread the kingdom of God and get people saved and all that, it doesn't matter. So you find at the end a lot of truth and error all mixed together, and then a lot of confusion. All right, Christian, like what Brother Desmond mentioned, many Christian, the standard are all different, even in the moral aspect. Music, for example. Dressing, another example. Some churches now we find that are okay with homosexual becoming members and all those, or whatever lah. I'm trying to give you a just general background as to what, if we don't separate from those who err, individually or as well as corporately as a church, we will go down. It is already a proven thing, already a historical thing you see in many churches. Strong, fundamental, Bible-believing churches, when they get sucked into this, when they don't take a strong stand in separation and all those, they slip and gradually they become like one of them. All right. So basically, there's a reason why Brother David Clark wants us to have this. And of course, Brother David Clark goes into further. He says not only we are to separate from the world, we are to avoid the churches and meetings, we are to avoid their books, internet, site, televisions, and radio, broadcast, MP3 sermon, and all those things. All right, he says that failure to do so is a major reason why Calvinism and new evangelicalism are flooding into independent Baptist churches. All right, and he says that because of the programming on all these so-called evangelical stations, a lot of these are also filled with heretic and compromiser. And even bookshelves, there are many, many danger in the bookshelf. He has a book here that's called Danger in the Christian Bookstore and Dangers on Christian Radio. It's all in the Way of Life website. He also named many names. In fact, I didn't want to come out the name because it's so long, you know. But just give you a few, like Billy and Franklin Graham, Rick Warren, Chuck Colson, Chuck Swindoll, some of the famous ones, Jerry Bridges. I read some of Jerry Bridges' book many, many years ago about holiness. You know, he's from Navigator when he first started off, and he wrote very practical book on this matter of the pursuit of holiness. I don't know whether you heard of this book. He has both a handbook and a manual, workbook where you go side. And a lot of people uses his book to conduct classes on this matter of how to pursue holiness. And we find many of these, some of these common ones. I have some books from Norman Vincent Peale. He's very good, a motivation speaker. He He's invited to a lot of sales and all those big corporations like to invite him to give talks on how to motivate, you know, the staff to do well and all those kind of things. But a lot of these people who are started off very fundamental, write very good books from the beginning, but eventually cave in and give in to this matter of because they didn't take a separation stand. It's not popular. It's not something that, in terms of the ministry, in terms of whatever, they just allow it. And today you find that they have no way of turning back because, you know, testimonially speaking, it's very hard to say, I'm wrong. And then now say that these people that I have joined in, I realize that there's a lot of issue and a lot of issue. It's a lot more harder to do that now. So I don't know, a lot of great men of God were once very mightily used by God in the ministry, now have joined the new camp of new evangelicalism and get sucked in with this ecumenical kind of philosophy. All right? So, as far as that is concerned, it's for us to, I mean, every one of us have got some of these people in our life along the way, and perhaps still even listening to their sermon and going to their website, looking for their, or even reading their books and all those. So you need to be aware. All right, it's good. Actually, I find that it's very interesting to study the people that you are reading their book, listening their sermon, and then get an update as what they are now. How are they? What do they believe? What do they stand? And in terms of separation, what is their position and all those? Because, like I say, if you are, later on, you'll find Brother David Cloud say, you'll be corrupted by all this error. Alright, so quickly, let's go. Avoid their school also. In those days, I believe Pastor Johnny will know, in the 80s, we have so many choices, you know, to send people. My pastor last time will have a Bible college in Emmanuel Baptist, and then after that, they will apply this college student to go overseas to study, and the church will support them. And we have so many lists, you know. Wow, well, these are all good fundamental churches, and we will strongly recommend for people who want to go for seminary training. But today, if you want to find, really, it's so difficult. Because all these colleges no longer stood for what they used to do, stood for. And they bring in a lot of music problem. The lecturer, a lot of them are not in agreement with whatever that they originally stood for. Their statement of faith and all those kind. Even in their practices, there are a lot of issues. So it has come to such an extent where it's very difficult to find a good fundamental institution that will teach sound Bible, train people, you know, in sound Bible knowledge. So avoid the school. The third thing about separation here, the reason for separation, and this is a very important thing to understand, because when we need to practice separation, we need to understand why it is good for us, why God wants us to separate. The first thing that we need to know, that separation, so that it will not to be corrupted by error. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Alright? There are a few examples there. The first one, of course, is the beginning of this new evangelism in the 1950. When Billy Graham started off, says here in the 1950, mainstream evangelical leaders such as Billy Graham rejected separation. There's this person called Harold Lindsay. Harold Lindsay, we do have last time in Maranatha, we have this course called Fundamentalism. This Harold Lindsay is the one that coined this word, new evangelicalism. Alright? And he was also instrumental in promoting this evangelicalism. And he says this, the one who, of the early church of the new evangelical movement, said that within a decade or so, new evangelicalism was being assaulted from within by increasing skepticism with regards to biblical infallibility or inerrancy. what I can understand wrong is that this particular person spearheaded and promoted this method, a position called New Evangelicalism. Basically means they believe in certain thing and change whatever that... You see, the even word like fundamentalist, evangelicalism and all those, through times has changed from its original, what it has intended to be. And to suit the current culture and atmosphere and whatever situation that comes along. And they redefine it to be that. So, you'll find that if we don't separate, as like I mentioned, many others who just take a very loose stand, who just simply invite people, who just get involved, eventually they become corrupted and they become one of them. And they just are very comfortable with this and they will be, in a way, very proud of their new position. Then we have this example of Zach Van Im. I don't know some of this name whether you are familiar. He was a fundamentalist in the 1970s, but he changes early 1980. He published an article in 1984 called Heart Disease in Christ's Body. He denounced separation and promoted the ecumenical philosophy. This is what he said. God comes into the heart of the Catholic and Lutheran and Baptist and Pentecostal, and with God in us, we can fellowship with one another. And that's what he says in his book about his position and what he's trying to teach and influence others. By the 1990s, Van Im was practicing, was praising the Pope. He published a video entitled Startling Revelation, Pope John Paul II, in which he exalted the Pope as a hero of the Christian faith. This is how spiritually blinded he has become in a short time. Another example is this person called James Robinson. Before that, he was a bold Southern Baptist preacher in the 70s. He was preaching against liberalism and worldliness. By 87, he spoke at large ecumenical charismatic conference in New Orleans. He was praising the Pope also. He was there, and Brother David Clough said he was there with credential and he saw this. So, he said, this James Robinson said, I tell you what, one of the finest representatives of morality in this earth right now is the Pope. People who know about it really believe he's a born-again man. So you find that people... Can you imagine a fundamentalist now changed to really... You just wonder how can someone in that position look at the same old thing, you know, but totally different now. Now embrace, open arm, and praise, and then publicly proclaim about this. And this is what is happening to a certain degree. It's either like that or the lesser degree, but it is more accommodating. They are more willing now to accept the idea and try to fit in and get along and still claim to be doing God's will and in the name of God, you know. So just to give you a sample of... By the way, this was written by Brother David Clough in the 90s. So you can imagine... Today is 2014. The situation has not gone better. It has gone much, much worse. And we are in a situation where it is a lot more harder for us. Because when we take a stand of separation, doctrinal separation from all this, Brother David Clough, he shared this, this experience that he had. Someone gave him a book called Limited Message or Limited Fellowship. He said that he was invited to this organization to preach. But the organization, the Promise Keeper, conference. This is not Brother David, from this author. Stipulate certain things that you must not preach and you can preach. As long as anything that is not divisive, as long as anything that doesn't make the people uncomfortable, you know, it's okay, you go ahead. So, this offer is in a dilemma. Either he preached the message as it is and have no fellowship, Or he has the fellowship, but he cannot preach a full message. He has to preach a limited message. So in the end, he took the stand of not going there and preach, because that would mean compromise, and he cannot preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. So he declined the invitation. So this is the kind of situation. Of course, it would be great if I am given, you know, as a preacher or whatever it is, to go and speak to a huge congregation, and I can. It's more easy to do that, humanly speaking. But if, as a true man of God, prophet of God, who wants to speak the truth, the whole counsel of truth, of God's word, you have to make a choice, a decision. A limited message or a limited fellowship. You have to choose either. Okay, we need to go on further quickly. Not to be corrupted by error. The other thing, separation, so as not to cause others to stumble. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 19 to 13, Paul actually talks about liberty and stumbling. All right? But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block of them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple. I believe this principle still apply. It's a principle that we can apply even in this context. Okay? And shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if me make my brother to offend, I shall eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. In fact, it can be very stumbling, because Billy Graham's this philosophy is preached, is that to preach anywhere when you're invited. But he has given a bad example by preaching in Roman Catholic and liberal Protestant churches. In here, it just gives you an example of this Billy Graham. Let me just read to you. In Poland, he preached in the Catholic churches and even stood outside of the main Mary shrine, the Black Madonna, and greeted pilgrims. Brother David Clark have a copy of called Decision magazine, which published a photo of his of this event, where Graham's action of preaching in Catholic churches sent the message that he accepts the Roman Catholic Church and it is acceptable to be a part of it. But that is a very terrible wrong message. Only the Lord knows how many millions of people have been encouraged to stay in heretical churches because of the refusal of Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, Louis Palo, and countless other ecumenical preachers to obey the Bible and separate from false teacher. Basically, the point here is, when we allow ourselves to not separate and just join these churches who are doctrinally not what they should be, we also stumble the weaker brethren, you know. It's very hard to explain to someone to do right when we ourselves are guilty of doing wrong in the first place. Have you ever seen children when parents say, please don't do this? Of course, one of the ways is like smoking like that, like, you know. When the father tells the son, please do not smoke. But the son turns back and says, but how come you are smoking? Why you can smoke, I cannot smoke. How are you going to answer? No, no. Daddy did wrong. You don't do wrong, is it? That is something that is very funny. But what I'm trying to say here is, it has this stumbling effect. It will cause problems when you want to tell people to do right, to do to separate. It's very, very difficult. And of course, you know, I heard a message about someone who said the power of influence, even through one man. You know, Hitler is responsible for the death of millions, all because he believed in a philosophy, in his own thinking, that the white people are the superior people. We are the superior race. All the race are inferior. Therefore, we should wipe them all out. Because of one man's philosophy and influence, millions can be affected. So in the same way as a church leader, as someone who stands here or who has the opportunity to influence millions, and if the influence is not in terms of truth and error, it can lead many, many astray and cause a lot of problems in their soul and in whatever they are. So we need to be mindful, even like standing here, you know, I'm also very fearful. Hopefully, I would not say anything that is contrary to what is taught in the Bible. Christian may have many excuses for not separating, but it is never right to do wrong in order to do right. Brother David Cloud gave a personal example about his wife who was invited in to preach in churches and to men in villages on the mission field. But the wife always rejected because she feel that that's not right. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible then says, "I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the men, but to be in silence." All right? And then he ends with this matter of, it's never right to do wrong in order to do right. And this is a philosophy that, I wouldn't say philosophy, but that this is something that many, many of these separate people who do not practice separatism, who do not separate and then enter into a relationship with those who we know who teach error, who are false teachers and all this, because they thought that they want to do something right. But in order to do that right, they have to do the wrong first. Associating themselves and identifying themselves with those people who have erred. I believe you have seen many of these churches, even in Singapore. They will say, we need to reach out to this group, this group. In order to reach out, we must attract them. We must bring them to church. Therefore, we should hold, you know, we should have this kind of entertainment or this kind of music, this kind of play, this kind of activities and whatever it is, and then so that we can get people to come. Well, as far as doing God's word, it has to be done by God's word. And that is the preaching of the word of God, and then going out just to sincerely invite people to come and hear the word of God. You know, I hope this first part of the Sunday Bible will keep us thinking, keep us perhaps even, like I said earlier on, consider this issue and find out for ourselves. Actually, there's a lot of material, and you just study the historical, how from whichever point of time, how these things develop and what it is doing right now and what the problem, and then go back to the Bible and hear what the Bible has to say. The Bible actually warned about this in the New Testament. Even in Old Testament, I just want to read this. I end with this 2 Chronicle. Can you turn to 2 Chronicle? Chapter 19, verse 2. Just to let you know, even in the Old Testament, this is a problem already. Not to mention how when it comes to the New Testament and even in our contemporary time. The Bible says, "And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him." The him is Jehoshaphat. "And said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." Here the background simply means Jehoshaphat worked with King Ahab, okay, and helped King Ahab in a lot of other things. And Hanani came and to tell King Ahab of his problem. Okay, there are many Jehoshaphat in our day to day that work with the ungodly in the name of trying to do God a favor, you know.
Thank you. teaching on doctrine of separation is very long teaching, but there's very few paragraphs on the topic of separation. Because the topic of separation is across all the other topics
already there.
It's already there. It's not specifically single as a doctrine, because it's already there. Therefore, the second point is that I agree that he break it down, but that is his teaching. His way of teaching, moral, doctrinal, and practical. Which, but that's why I asked about the question of moral, any different from doctrine. I think it's all quite clean as well. The question about Christian living is more towards the practical part, before the moral and then the doctrine. Because the practical part. The point is that it is a in the separation, you also mean cut off. There's this idea of cut off. So in the Old Testament sense, it means where Father Tilong is read, right? It's very clear, no? You cut off. You don't even mix. You don't have intermarriage, everything. You cut off. In fact, to the extent of God told the people, go and destroy. Just like, but in the New Testament Christian, right, it's tougher and more challenging because you're told to cut off from the false teaching, false teachers, false practitioners, and all this. At the same time, you're called to reach out to them. That is, to me, is the highest standard. And that is because Christ lives in us compared to the other thing is Christ has already set an example. Like, for example, he ate with the harlots and so-called the sinners. But at the same time, so when he was questioned by the Pharisees and all this, but at the same time, he said, hey, it's not that these things are defying me. It's not the practice or what people eat and defile, but actually what in your heart. So we as Christians be very careful that we do not cut off, but at the same time don't cut off until you totally I don't want to do anything with him, I don't want to try to teach him the right way, show him the light, things like that. And then the fourth point I have is that in the Old Testament there is a law of the separation as well. Especially for the priests. Especially for Nazareth, Numbers chapter 6, the law of separation. So these people are raised. The purpose of separation is to set apart. Now, then the next question I ask myself is that, does it mean that in today's Christian world, Christian, but then there's also people who, within the Christian group, set apart to do certain things? Then I realize that actually Christians are because of Jesus' love, because Jesus came and then the veil was put off. That part of it, we are all called priests, we are all called saints. We, therefore, every one of us, including teenagers, including people who are 14 years old, 13 years old, what, you are a child of God. You need to be set apart. It doesn't mean that only pastors or elders, every one of us can be set apart, because that is a difference. That is a difference. We need to set apart because we are called priests, we are called to do what God asks for. So that's my sharing.
That's why I say it's for all of us to go and study and take all whatever evidence that you can find. And then I believe from the moment we are saved until we are to be separated from like what Brother Denzel has shared. But I think in this case, here we are trying to deal with more specific issues. Like, how do you relate, or rather your response to what people who are in, who are false teachers, who are teaching false, who are teaching error. How should we deal with such kind of issue, you know? And separation is one of the very key position and attitude that we must have. Because when we separate, that there must be that love and the prayer of which we still have to pray for these people that God's word, the truth will set them free and all those, you know. And then we still need to check our spirit, check our heart, that we are non-judgmental, that we won't become holier than thou, and then we don't, you know, become such a way that ungracious, unloving, and whatever it is. But yet, if you go through the Bible is very clear that our response towards these people should be like what. Even when we look at it, Paul's example, Christ's example, you know, and it's something that you need to be very clear in this context. You know, separation involves many aspects. But we need to be able to be specifically understanding what that contact is, how do we respond, what attitude should we have, what's the teaching of the Word of God and the principle of the Word of God that will govern us, so that we can stand before people and whatever accusation and all this, we can answer them from the Bible, what the Bible says. You know, this book is precisely what happened. Because many who took the stand of separate from, have been accused, and of course, this author that he's critiquing regarding the argue, the excuses. He say, "Oh, we should work with these people because of this 10 argument," and how this author uses the Bible to correct this 10 argument. You know, and it's all.
But
that's not what the Bible says.
Right. That's what I'm saying, that you have to be careful, do not go to the trap where the power where you say you become like separatists. A new term for Baptists.
I understand, yes.
So you have to be very careful of the teaching of the Bible.
That's why.
So that's why I said the early church fathers, they put there quite quickly. Then you have this separation. I say it is a teaching, but I'm not saying it's wrong to put it as a doctrine of salvation. Sorry, as a separation. I'm just saying that be careful that we.
Well, in the next week one, Brother David Clark will deal with this aspect about this matter of why we separate and the right separation and the wrong separation. Like I mentioned earlier, he did cover some of this, but let's go through this whole lesson, and then we leave the Lord to take from there individually, and perhaps even for maybe Pastor Johnny as a church, God may want him to have a certain direction as to how to follow up with this. Okay? Why don't we close in a word of prayer and then just go for a short time of fellowship. Prepare our hearts to come back for worship. Father, we know this is a topic that is not that easily understood and taken. And Lord, even for many times, we don't really think much about this matter of how the separation issue, Lord. And Lord, the situation that we are in, I pray, Father, that through this introduction of doctrinal separation, that you will cause us to even consider this more seriously and endeavor to individually, Lord, take on ourselves to study further and to examine this issue, and that it will be very clear to us, so that, Lord, we will have understanding when, as a church, we take the position of separation. Doctrinal separation, that we will all have the unity of mind and heart. And Lord, even this time, that you just help us to have an open mind, open heart, with your word, with your Holy Spirit to be our guide and to be the authority, that whatever we discuss, we will be willing to hear from one another and let the word of God speak to us and then convict us of the principle that you want us to have. And help us to learn from it, that we may benefit from it, so that we will not be affected by this doctrinal problem, a false teacher, and Lord, that you will. Thank you, Lord, for the discussion. Thank you for even right now, dismiss us for a short while and then help us to have a good time fellowship and then prepare our hearts to come back and to worship you. Lord, we just commit the worship time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, just have one more minute of the time. I think the song you said, Lord, we'll have the pastor to set a direction. So I'll give you a few points.